Siren Radio.
Excellent. The weather today, highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. It'll be a mostly cloudy day, which is generally going to have some light rain as well as being fairly breezy. Siren Radio's Midweek Drive Morning Edition continues with Chris Dowse and indeed the wonderful Tessa Snott in the studio. And Tessa, we always like to break new music and wonderful, exciting music. And when you've actually got a talent such as Z Kresge online, then clearly we're in for an absolute delight. Lee, or even Z, how are you this morning?
Hi there, I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Excellent. Now, you're based in Sheffield, but you're fluent, obviously, in Polish as well as English and so on. Where do you actually position? Is it a case of, yes, well, you know, Poland is the ultimate system that's working there, or is it England? How do you position yourself? Or is it just a case of, I'm a global artist?
Well, basically, all started out in Poland, you see. So a few years back when I sent a lot of out over here in England, they weren't too interested at first, but in Poland they grabbed onto it straight away, so that's why we kind of started touring over there and got our contract with Warner Music out there in Poland. It's quite interesting because to be honest, this is one of my first interviews for a while in English.
Polish. We could have the interview in Polish, but it may not necessarily be the most successful.
Exactly. Yeah. I could speak. I mean, your English is better than mine.
Well, I was born in England already.
Oh, right,
So it's my first language.
Born Zenon Botcher, I think. Botcher?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Well, you know, left Tuke, Botcher, CZ, CH, etc., a lot of that, in Sheffield, England, to Polish parents. Singer, songwriter, guitarist, musician, and producer, quickly snapped up, as you rightly said, by Warner Music Poland. Rightly so. And indeed, in terms of tours, over 150 concerts a year, covering large open-air arenas to television shows, small intimate gigs. Z, I've got to ask you, in your TV studio shows, have you ever had to deal with the phenomenon of mic handlers?
Mic handlers?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. You know, what do you mean by that?
I've started something now.
Tessa, your pardon?
Tessa, indeed, just spent the weekend working for, apparently, the BBC in Newcastle, in which her official title was Mic Handler.
One of them.
That's what it said
on my schedule, so I've gone with that.
It wasn't just a name badge that had Mic Handler on it or something like that, was it?
No, it was on my schedule. It was part of it, and it, you know,
If nothing else, I'm sure we can actually have a Kresge song, actually, in praise of the Mic Handlers. You know.
What would Mic Handler be in Poland?
Mic handler. Well, it basically they just say it's someone who holds a microphone, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So how would that sound like?
It would say ktoś kto trzyma mikrofon.
No, you'd never get that on a badge.
No,
you wouldn't. It wouldn't be
or
out.
The schedule.
No.
So would you give that one more time again for the microphone that was actually there, Z? The microphone translates as the mic handler translates as
microphone.
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 Well, that works.
Microphone.
Oh, yeah. I get that bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Time is moving on. We want to feature Smile, and we want to find out what makes Z smile as well. But before we actually do that, Z, would you like to formally introduce this awesome record and tune and available thing as we actually also catch up with the video of Smile, which is on YouTube as well. We've got it lined up now. The official video is all there. Z, it's up to you to introduce it, please.
Okay. Hi, this is Z Kresge, and you're listening to my brand new song, Smile, on Siren Radio.
You pull away, you slam the door, 'cause your heart can't take no more. You cry. Drive away and
She's the only one who makes me smile. Round of applause, please, for Lee Kreisky. Oh,
right, that was good, that. Yeah.
So you've already said those words. You like it, Chris, and you don't give high praise of that extent.
Well, I'm extremely mean when it comes to stuff like that, but I like that very much indeed, Z.
Positive things for that. And Tessa, your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, well, we love that, didn't we?
We love that a lot. Well, just a question for you, Z. Is that being released in Polish and in English, or just in English, or what?
It's just in English. Even though, like, I'm signed to the Polish label, all the songs that I do are basically in English.
Mm-hmm.
But I am actually their first artist that they're actually releasing across the border, because all their other Polish artists are generally only ever released in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a bit of an experiment, this, because we're going to see, hopefully, it might get some radio play and do well over in some other countries.
It deserves to, I think.
Yeah, it does.
Excellent stuff. And Tessa, do you think it'd be appearing in a future edition of Sound and Country Vision?
Oh, most definitely. We must have you on the show.
Yeah, get Z on.
I know it's not country, but it's got a very good feel about it. I think it's got a sort of soft rock feel as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just meant to be a bit of fun. I don't know if you've seen the video, but...
Yes.
We were just looking at it.
They basically dressed me up into sort of like a Polish albino vampire.
Oh, we were wondering if that was your natural look, or...
No, not at all.
The children of the night, what sweet music they make.
What, was that Top Hole in Fiddler on the Roof? That was fantastic.
I was channeling my inner Bela Lugosi.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. Oh, it wasn't Gary Oldman then?
Easily confused, no. Gary's just far too new school for us. Tessa and Chris, what should I am hovering now? My cursor is hovering over the Z Kreisky Facebook page. Should we like it?
Oh, good like.
Okay, it's done. It's liked. It's officially put together. Z Kreisky, we have there, and indeed, we're screaming with delight in terms of the system for that.
Are you? Twitter, I'm guessing. Instagram, presumably. All over the place.
Indeed, on Facebook, performing at the Rotherham Christmas Light Switch On.
Yeah, that's already happened.
Have we got to wait until Christmas, or is that already gone?
But you'd have to be quick to get to that one.
I see what you mean in terms of makeover, because from the 2016 Christmas Light Switch On to indeed the albino vampire, quite a change, really, in terms of the sort of sequence.
Quite shocking for me to see, actually, when they were doing it. I must admit, I really didn't like it at first because it was so different, but they really wanted to make something, you know, really stand out for the video, because you know it was for the Eurovision. I don't know if you knew that. It was actually in for...
It's too good. It's too good for Eurovision.
Definitely.
But no, we didn't get chosen in the end.
You went on stilts, where you were dressed as creatures from somewhere else.
We should
have
actually had a chorus which actually went bing bong bing bong bing bong bing bong bing bing bee.
Yeah, or bits dropping off you or something. I don't know.
But awesome, I think, is the fair answer. Yeah. Tessa, any other questions you'd like to put to Z?
Yeah, well, we've forgotten. We need to ask him what makes him smile. Given that his title of the song is Smile,
exactly.
What inspired that?
What makes me smile? Well, do you know what? What makes me smile the most is when I get a chance to do music live and when I'm out there playing the concerts, because that's why I do everything. I love doing... like interviews and the studio work and stuff like that, but there's no better feeling than when you're actually doing the gigs with your band as well, because unfortunately a lot of the promo stuff that I do in Poland I have to do on my own. I have to go out there because I'm the only one who speaks Polish, and so it can get a little bit tiring, a bit lonely, but you know when you go over and you do a few days or a short tour with your band, it's absolutely amazing. It just makes everything, all the hard work, worth it.
And the songs are also available on SoundCloud as well, which is amazing. Chris, any thoughts or questions for yourself?
I'm just really, really impressed. You never quite know what to expect from modern popular music. But
folk born in Sheffield.
They've got a fairly good musical heritage though, Sheffield. You know, I mean,
this is true. But I mean, this could be an interesting deal cruncher with respect to agencies, etc. Are you Sheffield Wednesday or Sheffield United or neither?
Pretty much neither, because I'm a bit more of a tennis player than a football player.
Diplomatic answer. Good response there. If he said Sheffield United, Tony McDonough would have been on the phone cancelling the contract straight away. So thankfully we were okay from that point of view. It's worthwhile. Z, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self today. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on Siren Radio this morning?
Yeah, it's been great. has been like the middle of the night for me, since it's so early, and as a typical musician, I might have been slightly comatose, because I don't usually get out of bed till at least another hour. But yeah, great. Well, thank you very much for having me.
We were very impressed, actually, because as people will attest to it, you've just confirmed it there, musicians, 9 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. What?
I know.
There are two
it's not
nine
an hour that they know.
It doesn't exist on the clock.
It's like being an undergraduate student reading.
Yeah,
well, actually,
exactly.
if he says he gets up about 10,
like
it's better than a student.
It is, actually.
You know,
some students particularly for 9 o'clock lecturers.
Exactly.
Lectures, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
I see it midday.
So I take it then you will be kind enough to return in the near future. Z, will you come back and talk to us again?
Definitely.
Yay, Z Kreisky, like the Facebook page, go on Twitter, do all the rest of the bits and pieces, and you too will smile. Frequently, we're told, we're a nation of moaners and moaning minis and so on. It would seem that actually we still smile in Britain, which is good because the average British person apparently smiles 6,205 times a year, with 74% of British folks saying that their glass is half full when it comes to their outlook on life. Clearly, they haven't been listening to Edith Bowman on the radio, because then your glass is always going to be 100% full. As I always like to say, it's Edith, excellence personified Bowman.
Aww.
How are you, Edith?
I'm really good, Alex. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. That's very kind of you.
It's always critical. The only sort of aspect I've found about this survey, which has been produced, of course, today by Amazon, is the unusual line that actually the favourite celebrity smile is Holly Willoughby. What? Surely it's yours, Edith. I mean, what's going on here? This is outrageous.
I am going to have a word, Alex. Well, I mean, I'm really a little bit perturbed that I'm not even in the top 10.
clearly, they must have realised that if you had got into the whole system, you would have been a clear winner. But
it's my secret smile. That's what exactly. It's my secret smile.
Smiling plus more, because you're here basically to talk about not only the smile survey, but also as part of the support network for Alzheimer's Research UK, which is one of the charities that actually Jeff Bezos and his amazing Amazon company are actually going to be benefiting by a new aspect in which we can actually sort of purchase from Amazon, and indeed they will donate at no cost to the customer or charity donations as a result.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we all shop on Amazon, be that you know, books or music or items for the house or your shop, whatever it is. But the idea of doing that and someone benefit from it is such a great thing. And so all you need to do is just shop as you would do, but make sure you do it through Amazon Smile. And as you say, Alzheimer's is one of the charities who's benefit from this. There's 2,000 charities up there already, both a mix of national and local charities. And if you are a small local charity, the great thing is as well is that you can register your charity to be one of the beneficiaries as well. So you just head to smile.amazon.co.uk. All the details are up there on how you start shopping through Amazon Smile to make sure those charities are getting that money.
It's a wonderful win-win situation. Let's talk a bit more about Smile. And clearly, your average producer would say, well, we've got to have the Supernaturals and Smile. And then when you said, there's so many connections we can actually do with this. But were you surprised by this particular survey? I mean, I just like to know, how many times do you have to count 6,205 times to say, is that smile? Is that a half smile? Is that an ironic smile?
I think you feel it, don't you? You can feel when someone's smiling, I think. It's kind of a physical thing as well as it being something you can see. I think that, you know, I live in London and I use public transport quite a lot.
Not a lot of smiles there, Edith,
let's
be honest.
Well, this is the thing. It's like when I'm travelling on the bus or the tube and stuff, I really make an effort to try and make eye contact with people and to smile, whether they move out the way to let you stand or hold the door open or whatever it is, just to acknowledge people. And it's an amazing physical response that you feel when you kind of make that connection with people. And that's another thing that came out of the survey was, you know, random acts of kindness are in the top three things that make people smile on a day-to-day basis. The smallest thing can make a massive difference.
In fact, in many ways, you can almost say this Amazon thing is a bit like pay it forward, really. You're kind of, you know, looking on that sort of perspective. Sunny days, apparently, that's the number one reason most people tend to smile from that perspective, followed by people saying, I love you. I suppose it depends on the relationship, really, in that sorts of ways. But you've got a whole range of as you said, random acts of kindness. Seeing or eating fish and chips by the sea, 36%.
Always. I grew up in a fishing village called Anstruther in Fife, and our local fish and chip shop, the Anstruther Fish Bar, was nominated the best fish and chip shop on the planet quite a few times, actually. So I have to agree with that. The smell of it, just the taste, sitting by the sea with the sound of the seagulls and that kind of fresh air, it's just wonderful.
See, from a broadcasting perspective, as I say to my students at the University of Lincoln, if you want to smile, check out some of the amazing podcasts on the soundtracking site of edithbowman.com.
Oh,
that'll make people
you.
Smile.
Thank you. Well, it makes me smile making them.
Well,
really
exactly. And from an aspect, I think the late Terry Wogan once said that the best way whenever you're doing broadcasting is to actually have a smile, to actually broadcast with a smile, and you do connect with the listener more effectively.
Definitely. And, you know, it's like I was saying when you said about how counting smiles and stuff, when you're on the radio and you can... You know, I can hear in your voice kind of the emotion. You can hear people's emotion through their voice, and I think it's so true. You know, you can hear a smile, you can feel it.
It's an awesome scenario. Good deeds, as we say, are playing a large factor in making us smile. It's interesting that, again, most folk, in a world in which we, as we said at the top of the piece, actually, we're often told, oh, it's all gloom and doom ahead. But actually, to do a charitable deed four times a week, a third of people actually revealing that they give to charity once a month and 13% once a week, that, again, is pretty good in terms of keeping the overall sense of humanity going.
I think it is, and I think that, you know, we are, I think we underestimate and we take for granted as well how giving we are as a nation. I think that it's something that we are really, really good at time and time again, be it through giving your time, but also giving your money. And that's kind of like the great thing about this side of Amazon with Smiles, that you don't have to do anything, actually. You're just doing what you normally do, and people are benefiting. For you guys, for example, you know, your listeners, there's some great local charities that are already benefiting, who are part of those 2,000 charities that I mentioned. Cater Support Centre and the Lincoln Arts Trust Limited are two local charities for you that are already signed up and are benefiting.
Well, we certainly sadly lost one of our semi-regular contributors, indeed extensive contributor, Ken Dodd, this week, who always made people smile from that perspective. Are there any other artists around in the world of entertainment and show business that, from your own perspective, you always thought, yeah, that always sort of makes me smile?
Billy Connolly, every time. Yeah, I grew up watching Billy, probably younger than I should have been watching Billy Connolly. But I think he might have taught me how to swear. Don't worry, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to use it now.
There's a time and place. The consummate professional. Exactly. This is the classic thing. I mean, you know, we could actually sort of go into a shared rendition of If It Wasn't For Your Wellies, where would you be? You'd be down the hospital or infirmary. But, you know, that's part of the great English language, which I'm sure in centuries to come will be hailed as strongly as Robbie Burns in many ways.
Yeah, he's a legend in my eyes. And I think that I've been lucky enough to interview him a few times, and I saw his last stand-up show, actually, which was incredibly kind of, it was a double-edged sword, really, where it was very sad because I'm used to seeing him bounding on stage, and he's obviously, you know, suffering and dealing with Parkinson's disease, and so he kind of wasn't, you know, as kind of physical as I was so used to seeing him, and it took me a little while to kind of get used to that. But then he had me as soon as he started kind of, you know, just spewing out those stories, and the way that he tells stories and stuff, it was just magical.
Absolutely. Smile.amazon.co.uk, once again, is the go-to website to find out more about this wonderful way in which charities, including Alzheimer's Research UK, can actually benefit from simply, I say, doing transactions with respect to that extraordinarily amazing packaged, wonderful system as well. I still disagree, though, of course, Edith, and I'll stand by this, that, I mean, I can understand Prince Harry being runner-up, but really, I mean, Holly's a wonderful soul, but she's no Edith Bowman. That's the other, the Smile, you win hands down, but that's by the by. Two final questions for you, good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting and relatively amusing telephonic link with us on the programme this morning, Edith Bowman? Has it been okay for you?
It's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much indeed. Well, I'm kind of blushing, actually, from all your kind words.
Well, edithbowman.com, go-to website to find out a whole heap of goodies with respect to music, cinema, arts and a whole range of other bits and pieces. Could we prevail upon you to join us again sometime in the not-too-distant future? Edith, will you come back and join
us? Anytime, Alex. Anytime. And that check's in the post, by the way, as well.
And when a Scottish person tells you that the check's in the post, obviously it's got to be true. Thank you, Edith. Anyway, moving on. Chris, it would seem that even though I'm all set for Star Trek Discovery, which may have raised a few eyebrows in a Spock-McCoy fashion with its startling new look and radical characters and storyline, there was one aspect that firmly linked it to what has come before. The Klingons are using cloaking devices on their ships. Part of four delightful pages on tomorrow's fantasy, today's technology, which currently exists in the latest incarnation of Star Trek, the official magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Written by yourself.
Well, yes, absolutely. We changed the format a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing...
The Return of Nick Jones.
Absolutely, Return of Nick Jones. Lovely fellow that he is.
Return the editor. Of the Mac.
And we're kind of taking either an episode or a theme and talking about the technology of it, which
like
gives
Devil
me...
Devil in the Dark.
Well, exactly. That I really did enjoy that, because it's surprising how much real science there is and future science.
I'm a doctor,
science.
Not a bricklayer.
Exactly. Damn it, Jim. Yeah, that was rubbish. I do apologise. Rubbish. So
Larry Nemechek would not have been impressed.
Larry's a hard sell.
He has challenged the whole Bones McCoy aspect. Absolutely. Over the years and does very well.
But there's a lot of technology about terraforming that's being developed by NASA to see whether what they can do under the moon and under Mars rather than on the planets, which is interesting.
Now, I think it's fair to say that Larry's task or his suggestion back in the year 2017 for Hannah Brown and indeed Tessa was, in terms of gateway drugs to Star Trek, gateway episodes, Assignment Earth was put forward as the one that so they should actually check out via Netflix or other sort of devices and sources that are actually available.
I would heartily disagree with that. I think Assignment Earth is one of the weakest episodes. It's not one of my favourites.
Do you know, I'm not saying you're absolutely right. I mean, it could have launched Gary Seven into a whole new sort of term,
but it didn't, because they recognised it was rubbish.
Return to Tomorrow. Actually, no, forget Return to Tomorrow, because again, we're working our way. You know, it's astounding. Here we are. It's not Assignment Earth. It's not Return to Tomorrow. It is, of course, Tomorrow is Yesterday.
Tomorrow is Yesterday.
He was moving through the sort of gears there.
I don't know.
Worked your way through.
If it, what, one episode to introduce
either way, Tessa,
the whole
you
thing.
Haven't seen any of those,
I
three, have you?
So no. To me, it's going. It's all one ear and out the other.
Well, yeah, but you said you liked old school with emphasis on the old. Yeah. I'll forgive you for that.
I don't mean it like that.
Chronologically gifted, Tessa, as you're well aware.
More wise, you know, I don't know, how do I put it?
I just shut up.
I know.
I'll start telling people on air about the whole investigative journalism faux pas that you just committed. No, I can't say that. We'll not mention that. We'll just go back to Mike Handley.
Please, what goes on in the lift stays in the lift. That's all I shall say. So would there be an episode that you'd go for?
Yeah, it would be probably The Ultimate Computer.
Interesting.
Okay, so that's what I should
the ultimate
go with.
Memory engrams imprinted on the whole
sequence.
Because I think
that is just about all that's best. Okay.
And Balance of Terror.
That's another. That's actually a much better choice.
Well,
maybe.
Don't forget every night 6 o'clock on the Horror Channel you can access Star Trek episodes. You can also, if you're connected with one of the online media platforms or indeed online distributors like Amazon Prime or indeed Netflix, you can access that. There's no excuse, Tessa, is what we're saying.
Yeah, well, there isn't really.
Back in the day where we had to rely on the BBC's once a week screening.
We hated it then. And the concept fills in with horror now, especially binge watching was seeing something without an advert.
We won't be able to talk about this with Alan Stevens because Chris is going to have to leave us. Oh. So it's the tragedy of the whole system.
But I could come back next week and we could talk about it.
I would hope so, and make sure you stick around for that point of view. Well, we might also be joined, hopefully, assuming they've got their pipes fixed, by the Rimmers, Shane and Sheila. Yes, that's the voice of Scott Tracy back with us for the production.
Sign me up.
All being well next week. And in case you're wondering what has happened to Dr. Renee Ward, who obviously was going to be part of a duo with Dr. Christophe today. Well, pipes, apparently. But in this wonderful classic case of creative writing by our medieval historian extraordinaire, and yes, we'll be catching one of her events next week, actually, because next week is Medieval History Week in Lincoln.
Yes.
Effectively, remind me, Alex, to tell you of some point of the saga of the boiler. As an annoying way to start the day, the contractor, who was supposed to come yesterday and then deferred late in the day until this morning, didn't show up. Expletive deleted.
Rubbish.
My husband is now trying to contact him to find out precisely when he actually intends to do so. Insert multiple expletives and remarks of frustration and sigh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we are. And curiously, the Rimmers are also having challenges with their boiler as well.
It's the weather.
If it's not International Rescue, there's a whole routine that's put together. Chris, have you enjoyed your hour and a bit on the show? It's been one of the longest sections you've actually had with us for quite some time.
The longer I stay, the more I enjoy it. Well, I've heard that before somewhere. No.
Just don't go there. Coming up, a feature on Lady Chatterley's Lover. But to take us round to that, we've got a bit of Harry Chapin with a song much beloved of creative writers the world over. Chris, you'll be back next week. Short stories.
Awesome.
Joy that's behind the pain. Did you ever go soft? Did you ever run wild? I've been 100 years old. I've been a newborn child. And I have found a smile in the midst of tears. And I can find a heart. You know, I need you near me. All my happy endings gone, and I see now so very clearly that our story must go on. Myself, can I ask for you to forgive your hope? Can we make it through? You know I need a dream, just like I need my breath. We got to take the life before we get to death. You know I need your love, just like I need the light. Has it need a chance? Can it be tonight? Short stories, that's what we live. Short stories, they just take what they will give. Short stories, that's all it's ever been.
Add another layer to the ability to lose yourself in a story well painted, and Audible's library of narrated novels is second to none. In fact, one of the latest offerings, Lady Chatterley's Lover, just goes to show how much we can take our literary freedom for granted. Banned until 1960, Lady Chatterley's Lover was quite controversial at the time and was rejected for portraying audacious pornographic content. With critical opinion having evolved, we've now come to see D.H. Lawrence's story as the revolutionary tale and literary masterpiece it always was. The new production also features an exclusive introduction written and narrated by Fern Riddle, a cultural historian who specialises in sex in the Victorian and Edwardian eras. I'm joined today by TV and film star and narrator of Lady Chatterley's Lover, Holiday Granger. Thanks for joining us, Holiday.
Hello, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
So how did you find it working on Lady Chatterley's Lover in general? Is it something you were familiar with? Can you tell us a bit about the characters and the story?
Yes. So I was familiar with the story because I had done the BBC adaptation a few years ago. So I knew the book and I knew the character. And Lady Chatterley's Lover is about a woman, Constance, who marries in slightly kind of above her class, marries into the aristocracy, a man she's in love with, Clifford, and after the war he is paralysed from the waist down. And their marriage becomes slightly less loveless and obviously like no physical love in it. And she finds herself starting an affair with the gamekeeper, Mellors. And obviously of the time, the social class difference and also, you know, being a fair was quite...
It was banned up until 1960. So the kinds of themes it looks into were very controversial back then, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, massively so. Part of the main thing in 1960 with the trial was about the profanities and the language used. Yeah. So yeah, it was banned up until 1960, but there was a version that was released in I think it was in the 30s, okay. But it was like redacted. Had, massively redacted. Yeah, had like, but I'd be really interesting to read that to see what it was
compared to what it
compared
is now.
To what it is now. Absolutely, because yeah. of course you've got the like explicit sexual descriptions and descriptions of sexual acts, and also you've got the profanities words that I probably can't actually say now, you know, in the book. But it's also it's one of the sort of earliest books I've read anyway mm-hmm. of about describing sex from a woman's point of view. And in the first few chapters you hear of, you know, Constance losing her virginity when she's unmarried and 18 mm-hmm. and what she thinks about sex as a young woman. You know, I mean, obviously from the narrative point of view, talking about what she thought about sex yeah. and that's just something, just even women being conscious of their own sexuality and being in charge of their own mm-hmm. sexuality was something.
That, something that affronted a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, sort of something male-dominated, unheard of.
Even more male-dominated society back then.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that people would have just, we can't be having that. They wouldn't perhaps want to admit that they would enjoy something like that either.
Both Hilda and Constance had had their tentative love affairs by the time they were 18. The young men with whom they talked so passionately and sang so lustily and camped under the trees with such freedom wanted, of course, the love connection. The girls were doubtful, but then the thing was so much talked about. It was supposed to be so important. And the men were so humble and craving. Why couldn't a girl be queenly and give the gift of herself?
Well, it's funny that being written by a man, mm-hmm. but being one of the first books that was like talking about sex from a yeah. woman's point of view.
So this, I've noticed looking back through some of the things you've done in your career, you've got a lot of sort of period pieces, Great Expectations, Jane Eyre, to a certain extent, the Borgias as well.
Yeah.
Is that something you thought about when you were asked to do this? You know, is that something you really enjoy? Is that something you spend a lot of time reading and watching and that kind of thing?
Well, I did English language and literature at mm-hmm. uni, and I had studied the 19th century novel for quite a while and ended up doing loads of adaptations uh-huh. of 19th century novels during that time. And I do love the research that goes into adapting a book or playing a historical character or something. Uh-huh. But I'd love this book from doing the BBC adaptation a few years ago. It was interesting coming at it again and to read it. It was, you know, reading it out loud makes you look at it in a completely different yeah. way.
And I guess not having to do all of the period costume would have helped a little bit as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's just that I sort of found this book to read. It's very accessible. And
yeah.
But it's only when you're reading it out loud that I realised how convoluted a lot of it is. Uh-huh. Or like D.H. Lawrence just goes on and on about about nature and men talking about industry. Uh-huh. And that was something that I'd kind of forgotten.
it was, you know,
I'd always focus on Lady Chatterley and Clifford and Mella's relationships and that kind of love triangle, but it's all the other kind of aspects of Lawrence's writing that comes into play when you're reading it out loud.
Well, that's the beauty of it, that people can take various different things from a book, and specifically an audiobook. One thing I was going to ask was, how was the process? Is recording an audiobook, is that something you've done before?
No, this was the first time that I'd ever done an audiobook, and in fact, I didn't even understand. You know what I mean? Like, when I was asked to do a single voice narrative, I was like, oh, right, so they don't want me to do the voices, then I just do it. I was like, oh, no, single voice means it's just me doing it, but I do have to do the different voices.
That was a challenge.
It was, actually, because there are chapters where there are, like, four white middle-aged men all talking to each other, and you're like, oh, damn, I mean, how do I differentiate between, like, four middle-aged men's voices? And so that was, I think that was the sort of the bit of the challenge, really. And remembering at the end of the book, if someone else comes in, you were like, oh, what accent did I do for them again?
Do you ever listen to anything like this yourself? Is it something you do in your spare time?
Yeah, I don't tend to listen to a lot of fiction.
Okay.
I read a lot of fiction, uh-huh. but I can't follow it, to be honest, listening to it. But I do like reading, I like listening to audiobooks. Like, I've just listened to Sapiens, which I love listening,
okay. yeah.
listening to. And so that's, you know, I feel like I take it in better when I'm listening to factual stuff.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else in the pipeline coming along that you care to talk about?
Well, the next thing coming out is Strike, the J.K. Rowling series.
Mm-hmm.
and but I'm just about to start an adaptation of another book called Animals.
You got the bug for it now.
Yeah. I love doing books. So that'll start in a few weeks.
So has that really got under your skin then? Now you're just going to take as many as you can? Stop doing that kind of thing? Sitting in a room on your own, talking to yourself?
No, sorry. I'm filming
oh,
Animals.
Oh, sorry. Apologies.
Yeah.
I see.
Next thing coming up is me is I'm doing a film based on a book called Animals.
Ah, that was my mistake. Apologies. Holiday Granger, thank you very much. For anybody listening, Lady Chatley's Lover is out now and you can get it via Audible.
And in case you're wondering, who was that voice there? It was the wonderful Stuart Buchanan having a word with Holiday Granger, a little commissioned piece with Charlie Skinner, effectively, from a wonderful sort of setup there. So all great stuff. Of course, clearly, if Holiday Granger wants to really move to the next level, she needs to be in a Magic Bullet production. Isn't that right, Alan Stevens?
Yeah,
quite right. So,
where are you talking from? Is there a huge echo? You're in a toilet?
There's no echo as far as we're concerned. Maybe it's the Forest of Dean going echo.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Okay, all is well.
In Staines, it was always a very difficult line, wasn't it? Here it's clear, but it's got an echo there.
It's the joys of telecommunications.
It is.
I mean, yesterday when we were trying to reach Exeter with our sleep physiologist, I was amazed we actually got through it in the end. But we did, thankfully, with Stephanie, with some sage words of advice and wisdom for creative folk, echoed from Picasso and Dali, who apparently used to sleep with a spoon to one side, which if it fell in the plate on a plate would actually wake them up, and then they'd actually write down their creative ideas.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Alan, how is life at the Forest of Dean? And I sent you a link with respect to who would have thought it? Hey, on the same show back in 2015, Peter Miles and Ken Dodd, and now they're both up in Heaven FM together.
Oh, that was a link, was it? I've queued it up, but I've had so much work on it.
Exactly. It's okay. It's we appreciate that. You know, the podcasts do not go away, but clearly on a week which is, as we said, we have from Bullseye, Jim Bowen. Were you a Jim Bowen fan at all, Tessa? No.
It's not before your time. Familiar, but exactly. I should think I would have heard.
Maybe not.
Actually. My mum will be saying, no, you do know.
William Sitwell, huge fan. William will be coming back on the show before too long, I'm sure. And, of course, Stephen Hawking, clearly Star Trek The Next Generation, The Simpsons, Futurama. And he did some work in theoretical physics as well, which is quite interesting.
And appeared in TV.
Amazing. You know, it just shows what we started, Alan, when we had you doing the tribute to Peter Miles last week. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's a bit, I don't know, a lot of people seem to die in the beginning of the year, but then again, remember a couple of years back when they reckoned it was the death year and everyone was dying one after another, one at Prince.
Yeah, and David Bowie. Well, we do, though, of course. That's what human beings do. Sometimes they're encouraged by some kind of Russian plots to actually encourage them on the way, but you know, we can't go too far down that line.
Yeah, I'm not really convinced by that at all, really, aren't I? Mean, it's like sticking a big sign on it saying, we done it, like, using a... sort of a well-known, a well-known Soviet
technique.
Well, not technique, because they're technique. Actually, I'm not in any way saying that Putin doesn't assassinate people. I think he does. But what people are usually found to be dead from, you know, liver failure or a heart attack. Mm. And there was one investigation which Theresa May tried to cover up concerning the death of a Russian who had exposed a huge scandal concerning a number of officials, huge financial scandal. He was killed, and there was an investigation that, like, 2 years later, again, reopened that again by the insurance company, and they discovered the crushed leaves of a very rare Chinese flower, which can cause heart attacks. So the idea that, you know, that they would go around subtly doing this, you know, and you have to get a toxicologist in from Kew Gardens to work out what out, and then this time they just use some weapon you would normally act, which would actually be a military agent you would hit, you know, cities with. Obviously, it would be horrific if you did that, but that's what basically it's designed for. It's like using a nuclear bomb to, I don't know, kill Alex Lubchek.
That has been tried, of course. Oh, sorry, I should have revealed that on there. Still, never mind. It's a whole perspective, really, but, you know, life continues.
We have to thank Gabriella Peralta for launching the show. Thanks to Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Z. Kreisky. Yes, Poland's answer to Ed Sheeran. Splendid. Funny enough, if that had been successful as a Eurovision entry for Poland, I think it would have had a very good chance.
Excellent song.
Stuart Buchanan and indeed Holly Granger and Alan Stevens, who we haven't asked those last two questions to as yet, but we will in a few moments.
Yes.
Tessa,
yes.
Would you like to sort of quiz Alan on anything other than those last two questions, such as the...
What makes him smile?
Well, actually, we'll do that. Yeah, because at times Alan, I feel, tends to vie on the show with Ian Lennox in terms of tendency to curmudgeonliness. Curmudgeonliness, etc.
Alan, what makes you...
I don't know who Andy Lennox is. Sorry, who?
Ian.
Ian Lennox. It's all right.
Ian Lennox? He's on the no relation to
Andy Lennox, no. None at all.
I hadn't thought about that.
No.
I bet he's very upset about that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know with Ian, honestly. He listened to the first show sometimes. He's in Newcastle.
Ian's Ian. He's brilliant, though.
Exactly. He's got two nice cats.
He has. Ollie and Oboe. They're very nice.
Not so are they killed?
No.
Ollie and Oboe.
Ollie and Oboe.
Yes.
I've got two cats. They're called Aisha and Zukov.
Oh, wow. What inspired those names? They're great names.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, what was that? What question?
Where did you get those names from? Are they characters? Because they're brilliant.
Well, Zhukov was a Russian marshal who took out Berlin, and Aisha was the wife of. God, you were telling me that, weren't you? Who was Aisha the wife of, Alex?
I thought she was always named after the actress Aisha Brough, who was in UFO, personally.
No, this she was named after the.
This is a whole new world that you've introduced to me, Alan.
She was the wife of Mohammed.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. No, they're really good names. I like unusual names for animals. So, Alan, what makes you smile? Because research, there's been some research, hasn't there, Alex?
And there's been lots of research.
Brits, we smile like over 6,000?
Alex, shut up and let the lady talk. Go on, what was it?
We smile like about over 6,000 times, don't we? Is it, what was it, in a year or every
6,205 times.
Oh, a year. What makes you smile?
How would you measure that?
Nobody knows.
We don't know, but apparently things like sunny days, saying I love you...
It comes from Amazon Prime, so they must know.
Yeah. But what makes you smile?
Oh, the death of an enemy.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, yeah. That was kind of like an evil laugh. Yeah.
It's what Alexa was modelled on, actually. Yeah, she was bursting into evil laughter and so on. Which is wondrous.
Alex,
I've got a question for you. There's a series called a sort of Star Trek knockoff thing done by the guy who...
are we talking about the Orville here?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of it.
I've seen it. I have actually seen it.
Well, there we are, you see. It could introduce you to a whole tribute homage to Orville.
A couple of episodes.
And so on, exactly. It's just wondrous.
Is it awful, as I've heard, or is it good?
It's very good.
I thought it was all right, actually, because I don't usually watch things like that, but I really enjoyed it. It's different.
It's getting you lined up for Sci-Fi Scarborough, Tessa. You know, it'll open up a whole new mode for you.
I bet you didn't expect me to say that, did you?
It's a bit of a shocker, but, you know, with the time coming around to 9 minutes to 10 o'clock, it's amazing. So, Alan, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, albeit slightly briefer than normal?
Yes. Oh, it's certainly brief, wasn't it?
No, don't blame me. Blame the timetablers. I wasn't expecting to have to scoot off to actually do a 10 a.m. session, but it's what I'm doing.
You've got to go, haven't you?
Got to go.
All right. What time are you supposed to ring me then?
On our schedule here, 9:35.
What time did you ring me?
9:37, so
we're
just 2 minutes.
Oh, wow,
that's
ruined it, didn't
you? Yeah, well, I did...
Completely missed the target, I mean...
Exactly.
Poor you're professional.
Exactly.
I mean, it should be there on the date, 9:35, bang, not 9:37.
Yeah.
Well, it's radio, anything could happen.
Exactly.
Has it
been an okay link with yourself, Alan?
Well, you know.
Yeah, okay. So, will you be back again with us next week where we can actually have an expanded version and hopefully be part of a double whammy of 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. science fiction stuff, because we should have Shane and Sheila Rimmer as well on board.
Well, if I have those 2 extra minutes, I'll offer today back, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll happen. Taking us around to the news, we have in this moment, Sick Like Me, a movie in Tom Misch. Don't forget, of course, it is the start of the Indie Lynx Film Festival.
This very day.
Tessa, you'll be out there covering all the duties.
It's the opening, I believe, and then the weekend it's, you know,
all sorts of wonderful things here at the University of Lincoln. Yep. Indeed, our former correspondent and co-presenter and Midrick Drivet, Holly McGrattan, I believe.
Or yes, McGee, she likes has to said she to. Will be there, so I'll hopefully talk to her.
Fantastic stuff. And if you're still keen on Siren Radio, David J. Howe, Sam Stone and George Mann have got the latest incarnation of the Stone Tapes, which was released to the world this very evening at just after 7 p.m. And it's a wondrous thing. And actually, if you want to have a sneak preview, it's online now. I put it up this morning.
There we go. And you should do it. It's a very good show.
Guillermo del Toro is the focus of the whole thing.
Do I go now? Because obviously I'm not needed.
No, because we haven't
answered. We've got to plug you some more.
Are you back next week? And should people check out CaldwellCity.com in betwixt times?
Oh, by the way, have you watched? I was watching two documentaries yesterday on Ken Dodd. And the funny thing is, he used to say the same jokes over and over and over again. And he even admitted that he'd been doing it for about 50 years. No jokes himself he got from his father.
Exactly. But it was nonetheless more amusing because of that. You know, it's the same line. It's like, have you had a reasonably interesting chat? Are you coming back again? It's the catchphrase.
It is.
So I take it you'll be back next week?
I'm playing with you here, aren't I? You're stuck in this groove of having to play that. You have to have an answer. As long as I don't answer it, you're on the phone. And I'm hoping to keep you here until about 11:30.
It's not going to
work. I'm smiling now. You can talk another one of those up, you see.
Exactly.
That's what makes you smile.
It's a wondrous stuff. If you're listening to Siren Road Radio, you've made an excellent choice. Well done. Tessa, we'll see you next week, presumably for both Midweek Drive, Midweek Drive Morning
Edition. Yeah, definitely before the Easter.
Tom Motion Movie is seeing us out. That's it. Can we all say... What did they used to say in Blake 7? What was the sort of farewell thing in Blake 7? Was there a kind of line that people wrapped up with in Blake 7? Or did they just stare at the camera? Oh, I tell you what. Look after the mic handlers. Okay, that's what it says. Look after the mic handlers.
I think we should leave that one out, because I mean...
Somewhere they need it. Have you ever, in your media work, Alan, have you ever used a mic handler?
A mic handler?
Mm.
What, sort of like a patty tata for an outing?
Possibly.
That's what was he? Jimmy Young used to say, didn't he? TTFN, didn't he?
TTFM, tata for now. That'll do for us. They tip my letters, find a way. Our memories on my screen. Two lovers in this mystic dream. Baby, come back to me. Come back to me. Too much time on my phone. Baby, do you still sleep?